This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think Gavin Newsom has watched The Wire a few too many times. And I mean, who can blame him? Probably the best TV crime series of all time.
For Gavin Newsom, if it's useful running the state, fine. If it's useful running for his campaign, all the better. But like I said, if somebody hands you a phone and says, call me anytime, I'd be worrying and wondering, when are you going to call me for money? If I call you, am I setting myself up for something?
This is the Tuesday edition of the LA Local for March 18th, 2025, brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your burner slanging host, Jonathan Service. Coming up on today's show, Gavin Newsom is sending disposable cell phones to California CEOs with a note saying to give him a call sometime. What's that about? And we're bringing you a story you'll hear only on KNX about several dozen heartbroken swimmers and divers up at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo after their sports programs were unceremoniously canceled. It's a story about the unintended consequences of paying student athletes, which may very well lead to smaller sports other than baseball, football, and basketball being shut out of the profits of a multi-billion dollar college athletics complex. Let's start with Gavin's burners. The governor apparently sent cell phones to the heads of major businesses in California with his direct line programmed into them. A funny aside to the story, several of the CEOs thought this was either some kind of gag or some kind of phishing scam and had their security teams check out the phones before using them. But what the governor seems to be conveying to some of the biggest business leaders in the state is that his door is open to them. This comes as Newsom's much-discussed podcast, which featured several MAGA acolytes in the opening episodes, is raising eyebrows about the governor's White House ambitions. So is the governor making political moves that could help him personally, or trying to stop more corporations from fleeing the Golden State, or a little bit of both? Jeremy White at Politico is one of the first reporters on this most unusual story. I asked him if we knew which California CEOs got the Newsom burner phones and whether we'd recognize any of those names.
I know for a fact that it involves at least one fairly prominent tech CEO of a company whose name I'm sure you would recognize. So look, this is a governor who, to your point, has always been fairly accessible to the business community, Silicon Valley in particular, and is often seen as more of an ally than, say, a lot of legislative Democrats. So I don't think this is necessarily inconsistent or even surprising for Gavin Newsom in that he's trying to have this bridge to private industry. I think the way he went about it with these prepaid cell phones certainly surprised some people I've spoken with.
Is the speculation around his political future reaching somewhat of a fever pitch? And let me throw one other thing at you. I talked about Newsom's podcast at the end of last week with Mike Madrid, and Madrid has an interesting theory that it's not about a presidential run, and Madrid's, I think, exact words were that it would be a terrible launch for a presidential campaign if that's what he was trying to do, and he thinks Newsom's given up on that and is actually more in the media empire business. What's your sense of his goals in all of this?
It's a great question. Look, people have been playing the trying to interpret Gavin Newsom's decisions through the lens of a future presidential run basically from the time he got to the governor's mansion. So he has always been coy about his ultimate goals. He's never going to admit, yes, I'm doing this to set up for the next office. That said, certainly talking to lawmakers and other folks in and around Sacramento, the podcast in particular looks to a lot of people like the type of thing you would do to sort of moderate or establish a brand as you're moving into potentially a presidential cycle. I think Mike Madrid's point is really interesting too. Gavin Newsom is clearly a guy who is comfortable with that sort of media pundit role. He had a TV show called The Gavin Newsom Show for a while when he was lieutenant governor, I believe. So whatever the ultimate goal, it is certainly all of this stuff is being read by a lot of people in Sacramento as Gavin Newsom sort of artfully politically maneuvering as he thinks about his future. I will say the phones thing again, it's not as if this would be totally out of the blue for business leaders to learn that Gavin Newsom wanted to make some inroads and sort of build some ties with them. I think in ways the Charlie Kirk stuff surprised people a lot more.
Interesting note to keep in mind about all this. One day we might know a lot more about Newsom's conversations with CEOs on those secret cell phones. The state's strict public records disclosure rules do indeed apply to burner phones. All right, quick break here to take care of some business. I'll be right back on this Tuesday edition of LA Local. I'm Jonathan Service, your host, LA Local, brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. Be right back. Let's set up the 101 to quaint San Luis Obispo, where one of the best kept secrets of California's higher education system resides. Cal Poly San Luis Obispo is not only nestled onto a beautiful campus close to the Central Coastline, it's also one of the best public universities in the world. The school also has some legit Division I athletic programs, including swimming and diving. Or at least it used to have swimming and diving programs until late last week. Without warning, Cal Poly SLO's administration told the 60 members of the men and women swim and dive teams that their sports were being shut down immediately. The issue seems to be the name, image, and licensing payouts to student athletes. That was a hard-fought reform of college athletics that was meant to cut the young athletes themselves into the billions of dollars generated by college sports. While it's working according to plan for high-profile, high-revenue sports like football, basketball, and baseball, the lesser-watched sports like golf, tennis, gymnastics, and yes, swimming and diving are being left behind. I talked with Cal Poly SLO swim team co-captains Alex Siebold and Nick Elliott and asked them if they had any indication that their teams were about to be deep-sixed.
No, this was a complete shock to us. We figured out that this was going to happen less than 24 hours in advance, and the entire team was completely shocked. It happened all within a day, Friday morning, and the whole world found out just right after we did. And so it just added to the impact of the decision and how all of us were just swept out from under our feet from something that's such a big and important thing in our lives. So it was really shocking for us.
And then, Nick, walk us through what you're being told.
Well, the only reason we were given was a vague description of finance issues and within the athletic department. But there was no reason as to why they chose the swim team and what kind of troubles they've been having keeping the swim team around, which made it added on to the shock value of the whole situation.
And continue on, if you will. You guys were told, or your parents were told, hey, if you raise this X amount of money by this date, maybe you can save the programs. Explain that.
Yeah, we were told to raise $25 million once we had a meeting with the president of the school. And that's obviously a very dramatically high number of which that no swim team in the country operates at. So hearing that was obviously jarring.
All right, the name, image, and likeness payments. That it's become an interesting story of unintended consequences for college athletes. The NIL proceeds for, you know, top-level college athletes are probably way overdue. College athletes deserve to be cut in on the billion-dollar industry that is college athletics. But as a byproduct of that, you know, we're wondering if smaller schools, and that, again, not that Cal Poly is a small school, but let's say compared to UCLA, Stanford, that they might have a lot of competition for keeping the programs alive when athletes want to go to bigger schools to cash in more on those NIL profits. Any thoughts on that? Does it have anything to do, you think, with closing down swimming and diving at Cal Poly?
It does. And a lot of it kind of goes back to those higher level athletes at the highest college divisions. Those benefits that they receive are indirectly, essentially, at the expense of lower level athletes being cut and their funding being decreased.
Does the NIL framework start to encourage schools to ditch the less profitable, like less watched programs like swimming and diving. I don't, you know, sorry, my ignorance. Does Cal Poly have Division I baseball, basketball?
Yes, they do. They do.
Okay. I mean, does it become a case of the schools starting to coalesce their resources around what they think is going to make them the most money, and that your smaller sports suffer as a result?
Yeah, it's the non-revenue sports that suffer as a result the most. This Grant House case, and part of the settlement, this $2+ billion settlement that came out of it, requires colleges and athletic programs to pay a large sum of money, and as a result, it's the non-revenue sports that really get the worst end of the stick. And it's unfortunate because the less if this continues to not get the attention it deserves, then sports like tennis, golf, track and field, and swim are on the cusp.
In a statement to KNX News, Cal Poly San Luis Obispo President Jeffrey Armstrong cited financial constraints in his decision to end swimming and diving. He says the school, quote, remains committed to the student-athlete model and excelling both in the classroom and in athletic competitions. However, that requires us to make difficult decisions to maintain and sustain a viable athletics program. At this time, no other Cal Poly sports programs are at risk of being discontinued. That, of course, is not much comfort to the swimmers and divers who went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo to compete and now do not have that opportunity. Those guys are trying to raise the $25 million. They have a GoFundMe page. Go check it out. This has been Tuesday, March 18th edition of the LA Local. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 14 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Hope you had a good Monday, Junior. See you tomorrow for hump day. Until then, I'm Jonathan Service. Be well.